A movie where a couple of donkeys are more charismatic than the male lead. Jamie?
Yep.
Steph?
Yes.
Let's go watch Cherry 2000. Everybody, welcome to another episode of Good Times, Great Movies. We are an 80s movie podcast where every 2 weeks we watch a movie from the 80s and then we talk about that movie. My name's Doug McCambridge. I'm one of your two hosts. And with me, as always, is Jamie Lorello.
Hello.
I could not even think of something interesting or funny to say, which is sad because of the movie we watched. I think I'm just too excited because we have a guest.
Guest,
introduce yourself.
Oh, hello. I'm Stephanie Crawford.
I should have introduced you. That's rude to not introduce a
guest. That name has no meaning to anyone. Hi, everybody.
Hey, guest. Do your
own work. It's not as though I forgot who it was, right? No, Steph, thank you so much for joining us. And the smallest amount of background here is that I sent you a list of movies. And I said, hey, would you like to join us to talk about one of these? And I'm not saying that I had a feeling you'd pick this.
You did? You had this?
Yeah, did you?
You had an instinct about it.
When you chose it, I was not surprised. Mm. Do you mind talking about this movie, like your relationship to this movie, if you have one? Or like, where did you discover it? When did you first? Do you have any sort of emotional attachment to it?
Oh, I do, actually. I and this film, we go way, way back. I don't know what, just over a year ago, there was a sale on the Kino Blu-ray website. And I said, hey, everybody, what's good? And some people said, oh, you would like Cherry 2000. And I was like, cool. And I bought it and I enjoyed it. So it's storied. I'm sorry for getting a little emotional, but yeah, we go back a little way.
That's
so
deep.
So you bought a movie and you liked it, right? Okay. All right, fantastic.
Upon suggestion, and then suggested it to us. This is a beautiful wheel of suggestion. I love it.
It works sometimes. It really does.
It does.
It does. I don't know why I thought you would connect with this movie. I don't know. I mean, I think we kind of brought you on as a Nevada expert. Is that correct? Do you live in that fine state?
Does living there make me an expert? Well,
I mean, I think it makes you more of an expert than the two of us who don't live there.
There you have it.
And this movie was 100% shot in Nevada. Like, everything was. And I don't know if you did you recognize that butte that they blew up at one point?
No, it was cool because I do like road trips and I like hiking. So there are a lot of vistas I recognize and they tried to cut around it. There's a little bit of the Hoover Dam.
All right. So first of all, before we get into the episode, I do want to talk to our patrons just a little bit because we do have a new Patreon episode up. It is our discussion on the made-for-TV movie.
Oh, so good.
Beverly Hills Madam.
So good.
Robin Givens, Faye Dunaway. Oh, so many pregnant hookers. It is... So much fun.
It's fun for the whole family.
It's a TV movie. I mean, you know.
Yeah,
there was
exactly.
Nothing too objectionable.
No, it's true.
I mean, you know, spoiler, if you are okay with watching Robin Givens get, gang raped and then murdered?
Well, you don't watch the gang rape go down. Let's be honest. It's the insinuation or the insinuation? That's the right word.
Sure. Yeah. Why not? All right.
The implication? Yeah.
It's the implication of gang rape and murder for ABC TV. But anyway, so that episode is up and we did just record our live episode of Supergirl and that will be up for patrons only. So if you have been on the fence about whether to maybe give that $5, Jamie, what is $5 a month work out to every day. How many cents is that?
I mean, I'm not good at math.
Say any number.
So I'll say half a quarter, half a nickel, half a penny a day.
Oh my God.
Right?
Okay.
I can't do math at all.
That's right. But it's not much money. So go to patreon.com/goodtimesgreatmovies. Look at all the old episodes. We have Commando over there. You will never hear us talk about Commando, and you need to. So go over, check it out. So let's talk about this movie. Cherry 2000, 1987, mm-hmm. was made in 85 and was shelved for a long period of time.
Well, they thought about it. And it really didn't make much money at the box office, did it? Not much at all from what I saw. From my online research.
Yeah, I saw $14,000 on a $10 million budget, which is crazy.
That's actually a little painful to see. When you see a movie that's really trying to do something different, and it just biffs it that hard.
But I wondered, was it out around the time of something else? Like, did something else just really kind of overshadow it completely? Or was it just that people couldn't wrap their heads around this post-apocalyptic world? Well, is it like midway through Melanie Griffith? No, pretty early on. Like, who is in it?
She was nominated for Academy Award, what, a year after this? 2 years after this?
Yeah, well, she did Something Wild.
Right, yes.
Before this was released. That was a huge smash. And then a Working Girl would come right after, right. I think. So
I was trying to think of the other movie we did with her, Working Girl. How could I forget that?
How could you?
The way I described this to Jamie last time is, I think I said it's sort of a, almost like a Streets of Fire, mm-hmm. Mad Max mashup. But I almost feel like there's a little bit of Buckaroo Banzai in here,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's mm-hmm. high concept, and a lot of those movies did terribly as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were strangely popular, but none of them really exploded. Mm-mm. Or maybe, like, one out of 50 would do right. really yeah. well.
And I think they're those movies that are more, you know, cult classics or whatever the title is we give to movies that did terribly at the time and now people love. I'm not saying that this is a beloved film the way that something like Buckaroo Banzai is, but I think that this is probably held in higher regard now than certainly when it first came out.
I heard that, are they trying to make another one of these, of this? Are they trying to do like a remake?
I don't know. Steph, did you hear anything about that?
I haven't heard anything about, but I would not be surprised. Maybe. Like Cherry 3000?
Yeah.
Cherry 3000.
I would actually like if they kept it 2000.
Me too.
But...
Me too.
Jamie, this may have just been a dream you had after you watched it.
I might have. It did give me trippy dreams after I watched it. I'm not going to lie. They were a bit robotic. They were a bit desert. And it was a lot of crimped hair. But it was
they
a good
were a
dream.
A bit desert.
Desert. Yeah, it's a dream. A bit deserty. Yeah.
It's a good descriptive word. No, I understand. Anyway, Jamie, you want to open this movie up? You want to talk about anything?
Well, who doesn't love a little, for our opening credits, who doesn't love a little good flute, some neon lights, and the silhouette of a naked lady robot? Because that's what we get, right?
It is a little opening. Sexy opening yeah. credit yeah. sequence.
Sure, sure. And are they called, so these lady robots are called, am I right that they're called gynoids?
I like lady robots.
All right, we'll call them lady robot.
I don't like the word gynoid.
It's, yeah, that's, it makes you think like they're like moving their hips around in gyrating. A very thrusty way. Yeah.
Yeah. They are called gynoids, but yeah, there's just something about that. Because, yeah, gyrating, of course, but also
gynecologist.
Yeah.
It's super yeah. gross. Like, this is a PG-13 movie that revolves around a man's broken sex bot. And it's a strange plot. I mean, I like it because it's so different. But I have many questions about women in society in this future. Because it seems like, other than Melanie Griffith,
Who is a badass.
Right. Any woman we see is kind of a prostitute?
A robot prostitute, right? Because of the... Okay. All right. So...
No, with that bar, those are women.
Well, those are real women. I know. His little work buddies say that several times. So our little clean opening where we get to see this perfect little life that Sam gets to live with his robot wife cute little like futuristic apartment, right? How about that sink with that little
like bubble
thing? Yeah.
Which, did you like that? That seemed, I don't know, that didn't seem very practical.
I liked it as a weird 80s concept. In real life, you'd keep jamming your hands into it when you're trying to do the dishes, but
right.
It's cute to look at.
Yeah, or maybe it's just completely electronic. You just push the dishes in there and it does all the work for you.
It makes an awful lot of suds, as we find out, which can be lethal, apparently.
And they have a sunken kitchen, which is something I've never seen. I've seen like a 1970s sunken living room where you take a little step down, but they have a sunken kitchen, which then just, I guess, collects and traps all the water once it's on the floor.
Again, very dangerous for a robot to be making love in. But you don't think about that in the throes of passion, do you? No.
And you got to think that there were probably robots designed for water sex, but they're probably like higher tier.
I didn't even think about that. Or maybe he could have like I don't know, put on her like rubber sex outfit. I don't know.
Maybe it was an upgrade and he's like, oh, I'll get to it later. And then society collapsed and it was too late. He couldn't send in a rebate or anything.
Couldn't send in the rebate. A
rebate for your giant rubber sex outfit?
Yeah, upgrade it to be water safe. We'll send you $200 back. And he'll be like, I'll put that on the fridge. I'll get to it. Mm-hmm. I'm sure society will stay making technology and not become wholly dependent on recycling or anything. It'll be fine.
You turn around then, it's 17 years later. That rebate has long since
expired. Circuit City will endure, damn it.
Is it supposed to be 2017 in this movie?
I thought, yeah.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
And California. Really kind of
funny. Yes.
Which I'm not funny about
Anaheim.
For.
Why is Anaheim as hilarious in this movie as it is?
Anaheim is kind of, it's where Disneyland is.
So that's
it. Always makes me think of No Doubt.
So anyway, so she also, when he gets home from work, his job, oh my God, I could talk for 45 minutes about his job.
Oh, when he goes to work and his workmates, his two pals at work.
Which is
like
what he does.
Characters.
Which is what? Work at a recycling plant where people push around shopping carts full of junk the whole time?
Yeah, this is what the world's come to.
No, it's a really weird quasi-apocalyptic thing where you still put on a suit. Mm-hmm. You still have to get up in the morning, go into the office. But then it's just, people pushing around junk and being like, hey, you're going to the weird bar where societal norms have completely broken down after work. Patooey. All right. See you in the lunch break room. Like, it's really strange.
And I love how this guy's broken sex robot is like the talk of the office. They're like, oh, so sorry your fuckbot went down. But, you know, we're going out to, you can finally come with us to this.
Well, she's a primo bot, though. She's a primo bot. Because even when he goes to that weird doctor mechanic robot fixer and he's like, can't
he
do
is
it.
So sympathetic.
Right?
Do you think maybe he made Christmas cards of them and that's why everyone knows about just like every holiday, it's him and Cherry.
Happy holiday. Merry Christmas. Happy Kwanzaa. I wouldn't doubt it. Well,
no, I wouldn't doubt it because clearly to this guy, and this is what we're supposed to believe, is that this is not just a sex robot. Like,
no, they have
a
connection.
A relationship with this robot. Yeah. Yes.
She really listens to him. With her whole robotic heart.
Totally want a Christmas card.
Yeah, like her wearing bunny ears. But yeah, when she does short circuit from the water, he does make sure to get like her personality chip, which is a teeny tiny CD, which I love.
Yep.
It's adorable.
It's like a Barbie CD.
Yeah.
And he takes it to this guy, like this mad scientist almost. Mm-hmm. And the mad scientist... He's great because he's like, oh, you're not like these other weird sex perverts that come in here. You're
he
just like
me. He understands them. Yeah. Yeah. You get real connected to those ladies.
And I love how he takes them on a tour of all these other robots and they're just like on a little golf cart but with lounge chairs on top of it driving around. And each doll is creepier than the one before.
Oh,
like
yes.
They're wearing schoolgirl outfits. Don't like
and
this.
None of them will make Sam happy because none of them are his Cherry. I love later on when he's just laying in bed listening to her voice just thinking about how she was like, tell me about your day. Did you want something to eat? I love you.
Yeah, next to her plastic corpse.
Like her Teddy Ruxpin. Yeah. Oh, yeah, when he's laying in bed next to her. Creepy.
But I think that brings up the question of he is so interested in putting this robot's personality into another robot that looks just like her. Mm-hmm. We don't see much personality here.
Mm-mm. Well,
I mean, she lists a bunch of things that were made in America, and that's kind of it.
Yeah, but I think that's okay. So his friends take him to a bar after work.
The glue, glue, glue.
Yes, that's an amazing club in every conceivable way.
Are the doors vagina doors? Did you notice that the doors look
there's
like...
kind of a yonic motif throughout this thing? Yeah, for sure.
I do have to tell you, as a young boy of 11 or 12 years old, whenever I saw this on HBO, I had an awakening to this movie.
I'm sure you did.
This movie is so burned into me where, I don't know, I'm sure, like we watched Labyrinth, and I know that a lot of girls around our age were like, oh, David Bowie in that movie? I was a young kid and I was watching it and I was like, oh yeah, this is... That's what Cherry 2000 was for me, and it's a strange movie to be that for me.
But it's kind of putting it all up in your in your face a little bit.
Yeah, sure.
That's interesting. My husband mentioned the same thing. He's like, "Oh, Cherry 2000," and I literally saw him like bust a sweat, maybe a little boner. I can't say for sure, but I was like, "Oh, what does this mean to you?" And then I saw, and the whole time I'm glaring at him, like, yeah, I know what young you was thinking when you were watching this movie. You weren't pulling it apart for the messages I'm receiving. No, no. You were receiving other messages. That's all.
Okay, so it's like the tight blue pants of the Goblin King for a lot of men of a certain age. Okay.
Right. Yes.
I can respect that.
Yes.
Yeah, tight blue pants of the Goblin King.
Oh, man. So go ahead. This club they go into, you were saying this, they go into this, like, club.
Go ahead, Steph. Walk us through this club, because I love
it. Yeah, sure. Because his friends are like, just hook up with a new girl. It's fine. So he shows up, and they don't lay everything out. I do like that. They let you discover how it's done.
Oh, where... the discoveries. Oh, the discoveries.
And a girl seems to be hitting on him. It's nice. And then she asks him about his card and he says, oh, it's expired. And she is infuriated.
Oh, I love how these women, I don't want to call them sex workers. I don't want to make assumptions.
These real women. They're just real women.
Right.
Keeping it real.
They all seem to have demo reels because he walks by and the woman's like, oh yeah, yeah, that's me with Steve. Yeah. You see what I'm doing there? You like that? You into that? Mm-hmm. I can show you other stuff.
It kind of reminded me of an advanced... Now, I don't do the dating apps or whatever they are, obviously, because I'm... But it, like a modern-day Bumble? Like, you know how you could, like, yeah, no, like, but an advanced version. Like, if you could go on Bumble and see the sexual exploits of your potential Bumble, which, I don't know, the future, maybe we're not far behind that. Maybe that's where we're getting to. Who am I to know?
Well, it's in person, too, so you can't catfish them. Plus,
true.
Apparently a lot of people bring lawyers in there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
to negotiate the terms. Which are the lawyers glorified pimps? Is that basically what we're... meant to think? And is that Lawrence Fishburne? Born.
Yes.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. No, that's Larry Fishburne, all right. I was waiting for him to come back. I was like,
were these the Larry years? When you're still going by Larry?
Yes, I think so.
Oh, cool. I like the Larry years. Yeah, well, but no, he's one of those people where even if you give him one or two lines, he always had that magnetism. So you're like, oh, he's going to like help him escape from something or give him a clue about where to find a Cherry 2000. No, just really cool glasses.
The club is glue, glue, glue. And the information he gets when he just can't recover from the sadness of losing his cherry is
basically
to go,
laying in the bed with her corpse, just playing the voice recording
to her recording. Exactly. Creepy. But so since he can't get his cherry back, he's told to go to the glory hole.
Which, what?
That's where he's got to go.
What are we doing? What are we doing in this movie at this point? I don't know. Maybe Glory Hole in 1985 did not mean what it means now.
Oh, it definitely of course did. It I did. Love it.
Of course okay, it
all right,
did.
Fine. I was trying to give... All right.
He's got to find a tracker. This information is given to him by that shady mechanic surgeon, I guess we'll call him.
Right. Yeah, does anyone have one job here once you get out of, like, the office building? It's like, he's a cannibal, but he's also an elementary school teacher, and he's president of Zone 4, and he's the official notary, so just go to him for any of that.
He's going to clear up those matters for you. Yeah. And so he's got to find this tracker, or a tracker, right? And it's right. Way outside of town. I'll tell you where it's not. It's not in Anaheim. So he's got to leave the town of Anaheim behind. And what's this hotel that he checks into? Where are we here? We're in this...
I don't know. It's like an old mining town.
And why do they keep cats in water jugs? What is that about?
What is that?
Is that just to be really trippy crazy? It's crazy. Man with an umbrella. All these characters at this hotel because you're in this, like, you're moving out, right, of reality.
I love it because it really is... just a thing where they're like, I don't know, what costumes do we have? What do we have access to? What can we put these people in? Oh, what if we put this cat in a water jug? Great idea. Let's just do it. Because who cares? Like, I don't know, all this stuff. And nobody – I enjoy it in movies when this stuff happens, but nobody really calls attention to it. Like, I love that so much. It's just nonsense somebody threw in the background. And it's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's still wearing his business suit, and he's walking into, like, a neon Western tourist trap where everyone's mm-hmm. wearing a costume. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yes, this is what the world is today. This is fine.
No, yeah, nothing seems bizarre to him or anyone else. Even when he goes to Zone 7, even when he is kidnapped by Tim Thomerson, like, he never really seems to be concerned about anything, thrown for a loop. Ever. He's just kind of there and in it the whole time.
Well, he is concerned. He's concerned about getting back his Cherry 2000 is what he's concerned about.
Right. I mean, he's got one thing on his mind. Yes, yeah. Of course.
Yeah. Until he meets Edith, is her name? E. Johnson, the tracker, right? Who?
He goes, okay, so when he's at this hotel,
yeah,
we do see... Everyone noticed Robert Zadar in this hotel waiting room.
Well, right? Yeah, he's dressed like an outlaw 80s exercise equipment model from Florida.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy. When I saw him with a button-down shirt that is not buttoned and he's got shorts. Oh,
I love him already. This might be my favorite outfit of his. And he wore some outfits through his career, so that's saying a lot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I mean, this is a young Zadar too. Like, he is built. Mm-hmm. His face isn't quite as large as it becomes later.
It's growing into itself. Yeah.
And I was so sad later because I was like, was that it? He's gone. I was so sad. I'm glad he showed up again, but I really wanted more Zadar in this
movie.
Oh,
man. What if he had a scene with Fishburne? That would have been amazing. What a missed opportunity.
It's a whole different movie that I would want to watch, definitely. So he heads to E. Johnson's just little house. It's a nice little house.
Yeah, it's a little shack. She's ready for him, though. I think he's expecting, obviously he's expecting the tracker to be a dude. It's not. It's her. Pretty lady. Very sure. Bright colored hair. Very reminiscent of The Fifth Element.
Mm-hmm.
Hair very bright and yeah. Colorful and she lassos him. How about there's a lot of lassoing happening in this movie? Because later on, Lester tries to lasso the airplane, doesn't he?
He successfully lassos an airplane.
They're in the West. It makes sense.
Yeah.
It's a theme.
I can hear your shrug. I can hear your shrug. I love it.
Again, I mean, you live there. You go out of your
house.
She
lassos probably everything. She's at the grocery store lassoing her groceries.
What am I going to do? Walk to it? Come on. I got a lasso right here.
That's what I got.
Let's do it.
I like how her sign says, She never says no to a job or whatever.
Yeah, she's and pretty determined.
He gives her this job and she goes, no. And he says, but you never say no. And she's like, oh, yeah, okay, I'll do it.
You got me. I got to do something about that sign.
I keep saying I got to change that sign. Damn it.
That's like a giant contract I can't hide from.
But her thing is that he has to go with her.
Yes, she needs a shotgun.
And that's when he's out. You know,
I mean, he wants the girl, but he wants to want to really get
Are we going to talk about him later on? Because I have a lot to say about this guy.
No, I want to talk about him now. Because I have many questions and thoughts and feelings. So let's talk about the lead. I mean, I guess Melanie Griffith is the lead, but second build in this movie, is that fair? Let's talk about him.
Sure, he's the one we're supposed to relate to. Really, mm-hmm. It's his journey we're following, basically. And he is the most boring main character of any film, let alone a crazy high concept genre picture like this. He's like, I swear, it's like he's Mark Harmon if he was dehydrated of all his personality. Like, I have to take his word and other characters' words on everything because he's like, oh no. She's dead. And I have to say, if he doesn't say it, I guess he's supposed to emote, and he doesn't. So right. We're like, oh, man. He seemed to really love Cherry 2000, and she, you know, she's quote-unquote dead now. He's probably upset.
Right.
Oh, he's in a weird situation. I'd assume he's uncomfortable here. Oh, this lady's sassing him. He probably has feelings in some way about that. It's just... there's nothing there.
Oh, I do like when he stares at her in the night when they're sleeping across from each other. And this is, I guess, when he's starting to fall in love with her. And you're right. There's no, it's a weird stare off that he gives. And you're just unsure. You're just left. I guess, I mean, he's kind of cute. I don't know if that was the reasoning. They were like, well, he's handsome. And he looks short. I feel like, I don't know.
You are really defending the choice of this man.
He's not cute enough to make up for that lack of personality. I'm sorry.
Agreed. Agreed.
No, I agree. Yes. No, I have a lot of problems with him because I think Melanie Griffith is fine in this movie, but I also don't think she's great. Because she's not, like, there's no inflection in her voice either. So to have these two,
flat.
I mean, there's no chemistry there. There is no chemistry.
That's what I mean. When you see them trying to fall in love, you don't see the love really kind of building.
Right. Yes. I could understand this guy being in love with a sex robot. Sure. That makes a lot of sense.
I bought that. Absolutely.
If this movie was just a day in the life of he and his sex robot, I'm buying into it 100%. But the moment he is put in uncomfortable or bizarre situations, he is so flat. It's pretty rough to watch sometimes.
But I guess that's because you've got so much going on around him that you don't need – like it's – even though I agree the performance was lacking, it didn't ruin the movie for me at all because – There was, like I said, there's so much else going on, and that it was like, I mean, sure, a better choice in actor might have gave it even higher marks, but I don't know. There was enough going on that the flat performance, because you're right, hers was a little bit. I'm not a huge Melanie Griffith fan. I think I've said that before, but I really liked her in this, and even in this, there are moments where I'm like, is she trying? What's happening? What's going on with you,
I Mel? Feel like she was trying. She just didn't really have anything to work off of, because when you look at Something Wild, her and Jeff Daniel, even though he's playing a pretty straight-laced dude, he has a sparkle and they have chemistry and you can see him processing emotion. And that's not
and
here.
And there's humor. And they absolutely understand the humor. It happens a lot with her. All of her ADR dialogue is so flat and monotone.
Yeah.
It does not feel like it's in this movie. Like, every time she's talking, I picture her in a recording studio. It's very weird.
She's like, yeah, like, I'm filming with Harrison Ford right now. Can we just wrap this up, please?
Weren't you supposed to release this movie 2 years ago? Jesus Christ, what's going on? 14 grand? Good thing I didn't take that money on the back end. And I don't know. I mean, they were able to get her, and I know it was Melanie Griffith in 85, but mm-hmm. that's still, I mean, she'd been acting since she was like 14, 15 years old. That's, I mean, that's Melanie Griffith money. But the main actor here, I forget the guy's name. I have it written down. It's David Andrews.
The name.
Oh, God, even the name is boring.
But I do like the character's name, Sam Treadwell.
Yes.
Sam Treadwell. Mm-hmm. Why is that not a joke? She tells him later, she's like, oh, I hope you can swim. He should have said something like, I can tread well. Come on. It's right there.
Oh, when they go in for that water slide thing that they get to do? That looked kind of fun. It's a little dangerous.
I like that part.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, I feel like I could dump on this guy the entire podcast. But did you, I assume you took out your wonderful Blu-ray to watch this, Stephanie, right?
I did, yes.
Did you watch the interview with Tim Thomerson?
I did, yes.
Okay, all right, okay. Because I did like how he said that this guy had a theater background and this was his first movie. So maybe, I'm not saying that that excuses it, but maybe it explains it.
Yeah, that
could
be a weird transition.
Yeah, what else did he do? Nothing then.
Oh, no, he did a ton of stuff. No, he's done a lot. He has an extensive IMDb.
Yes. It's a very kind of masculine career, though. Isn't traditionally?
It's very much like the elder statesman of the Navy and stuff like that. You know? It's a very
solving
Mark
Navy
Harmon and
yeah, interesting.
Navy thing
I'm on to you, man. David Andrews.
I'm a team man.
He really was the weak point. I mean, I think a lot of times in movies like this, the bad guys get a lot of stuff to do and they have the meatier roles. This is such evidence of that. Like every time Tim Thomerson was on screen, I loved it. Every time Ginger was there, I was dialed in and so happy for everything that was going on. All right. So let's talk about after Melanie Griffith says, or he says, no, he's not going to go after she lassos him, but he eventually gets away. He goes to a bar.
Right. Where he gets made fun of for being a little out of place, you know?
Yeah.
And he announces that he's Sam Treadwell from Anaheim. And boy, did these weirdos in this bar get a whole laugh about that.
Love it.
They do. They do. And there's two guys in the bar that he kind of buddies up with. There's a deaf Earl. And I don't know the other guy. I don't know. Well, there's some shady shysters.
Can we talk briefly
about the bar?
This bar, he orders a rum and a cruller?
Yeah, that's actually a really popular drink in Nevada.
Oh, a rum and cruller?
And parts of California. Yeah, great dunking. Like, you wouldn't put together. But, you know, you hear about French fries and a frosty.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Try it. Yeah.
It's
good. No, sometimes. The bartender will be like, thank you. We order these donuts every day and we barely sell any of them.
I love it. Like, I love the idea of just booze and pastries.
You need something in your belly to absorb all that booze. There you go.
And again, just like that cat in the water bottle, it's not made fun of. It's not really a joke. It's just something he says. And then we see that quote unquote deaf guy eating a donut.
Yeah, donuts and booze, man. I mean, donuts are a thing now, so they might have been right about that. I don't know about where you...
I don't know what you mean by a thing.
Like,
I mean,
there's donut shops that open up, like, everywhere. Although donuts, I guess, they're a bigger thing now than ever before. Although I will say in California, in Nevada, there's, like, it's the donut shops. There's the thing. Have a donut.
Well, the Cronut brought it back, and then cupcakes came in a little bit, and there's a bit of a battle.
Don't forget the cake pop. That was a weird thing.
Oh, yeah.
That happened, yeah.
Pastry trends. That's really what I took from Cherry 2000.
Pastry trends 2000.
Oh, by the way, I felt like I was misleading before. 2000 is like her model number. It's not meant to sound futuristic because they're already past that in the movie. But.
Oh, I just thought she was a 17-year-old robot. Like, I thought he had just had
Well, that's just a whole host of others.
Yeah, that's a whole different,
And if she can't not – listen, and I don't want to get too gross here, but if you can't get this robot wet, how are you cleaning it? He's got to clean that sex robot, right?
Yeah, but it's not in soaking in bubbles, I suppose. It's wiped down with a sanitary towel, I guess.
Yeah, okay, but, you know, she had her head, like the back of her head soaked in it. Maybe it was just the crevices he doesn't normally explore that weren't designed.
Maybe you could, like, unscrew her head and just take care of the rest of the body or something.
Yeah, you, polish it up. You know?
Maybe if she was just some whore robot from the street, okay, but it's like basically his wife, thank you.
All right, okay.
He brings her flowers every day.
Every day.
She'll just chunk them out yesterday's flowers and plop the new one.
This kitchen sex is a daily thing. He comes home, he eats a shitty hamburger and green beans, and then they have sex in the kitchen. I'm assuming every day. It's not a terrible life.
No, especially in this time period. Sadly, the most normal thing you could experience.
Yeah, you're right. No. When we see what his coworkers are up to, yeah, you're right.
Those shady little coworkers with their vest and their fancy hat. When he's at this bar, he gets a little more information about a man named Six Finger Jake, who he's told is dead, the shady Six Finger Jake, right? Or the Almighty Six Finger Jake, I should say. And these two guys try to kind of shake him down. That he's obviously looking for someone to do his job for him, this fine and cherry job kind of tracker. And they claim they can do it, but they take him outside and try to take all his money. It's not a nice thing that they do, but they're not nice people.
Including the great Brian James. I'm sorry. I love him. I'm always excited when I see him in a movie.
No, that's fine. When people pop out, please mention them, because there's a lot of faces in this movie, and I really didn't notice some of it while I was watching it. But then going back through IMDb, I was like, oh my god, these are big time actors in this. But my favorite line at this point is when I think it's Brian James that says this, when he's like, "Oh, Zone 7's a weird place, man. People stay up all night playing Twister."
Playing the Twister.
I guess that is a sign of a weird place. I get it.
No, for sure. Because later it's not Twister, but they're all full grown adults. It's midnight? And they're just playing hokey pokey.
Oh, yeah, they are.
Dancing their little hearts out.
And this is after they execute someone. And I was like, I think this hokey pokey is more sadistic than the execution they just performed.
Yeah. I agree.
So, yeah, I am with him on that. Even in that world, that's weird, weird shit.
Yeah. Yes.
He almost gets robbed by these two incompetent dummies. Mm-hmm. Like, these guys are morons. But he actually manages to get away, and then he runs back to Melanie Griffith and says, "You got the job, you got the job."
Yep.
And she's got, like, a bitchin' Mustang they get into with, 45 switches she's got to hit.
Oh, yeah, the 80s futuristic thing. Just, like, hold on 5 minutes. Doop, 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 doop. Switch, switch, switch. Click, 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 click.
I like when they're in the car and he's like, "How do you even see out the – how do you see out of here?" Because it's all just these, like – this, like, panel of, like, knobs and stuff. But she doesn't. She drives by feel. She doesn't have to see. She tells him, "I drive by feel. Feel it. That's how I drive in my fancy car, getting out of fast, quick moves out of glory hole."
I mean, this is one of those tropes in movies where you get someone who hires someone else for a job, and all they do is question the methods of the person.
Oh,
that
they hire. You're right. Yes.
And every turn, he's like, "What do you do? Why would you do that?
Are you lost?
You can't do that.
What are you lost?" He keeps asking her. She's like, "I think I'm the one." I like when she makes him wear the helmet, because I just think it's funny to have him sitting there with
the helmet on. Yeah, you know, that's just for her amusement.
Yeah, yeah. Totally. And he does give off the vibe of a guy who might need a helmet in the near future. Oh.
Yeah, safety first, right? So where do they drive through at first? That's when she makes them put the helmet on. They drive through, like,
just a barricade. She's like, oh, here comes a barricade. Put this on. And after they get through this barricade, he seems to be like, what was that? And she's like, oh, it's just these guys that don't have anything else to do. Yeah. They're real mature. Like, this is dialogue in this movie?
Yeah, it's like they're projectile, like, giant guns off a mountaintop. Like, ah, these goofs. Oh, he's up to something. Well, I'll just kill them real quick.
Trying to be little assholes is what they are. She's,
go get a hobby, you kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, she seems minorly inconvenienced with people trying to murder her.
Right. But it's exhausting. So she lays down to take a little cat nap before the journey continues. And I like it. At first, she's so eager. Why are we going? We should go. What are we doing? She's like, take it easy. It's my job. I'll get it done. And while she's taking her little rest, he is listening to his voice recording of his Cherry 2000 just saying, you know, I don't know what she was saying. I love you.
No, he's listening to them have sex.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right. He is.
After he throws a tantrum that she won't let him drive the car. It's like, fine, I'll listen to my sex tape on the wall.
Go over here and, I guess, jerk off and listen to my sex tape?
If you're listening to this, you haven't seen the movie, he didn't really jerk off. Mentally, he jerked off. Oh, yeah, you better believe it.
You better.
Yeah, sorry. It's not that kind of
movie. Sorry. Yeah, sorry, people who are listening to this that have not seen it yet. This is rated PG-13.
Well,
this isn't he's just angrily pornography.
Masturbating. Yeah, because there's something when he's not being bland, he's being very adolescent and stubborn.
Yes,
and it says a lot about how interesting all the supporting characters are that didn't turn me off the movie. Because this guy alone, I could not do it. If it was like one man's journey to finding a new sex doll, I'm like, nah, this guy, nah, I'm good. I'm okay.
Yeah. I don't think I need to follow this man any further. No. We're good. Yeah.
But I think it brings up more questions because I understand maybe he is emotionally stunted because he's been, you know, he's had this sex robot his whole life. And you saw his coworkers and where he works. It's got to be a terrible life. But then when we meet Ginger, I was like, wait. So he had a relationship with an actual woman? I mean, she's a bit weird.
A bit. She does love to make a sandwich.
Loves sandwiches. Oh, my God. I love Ginger. Let's get there. Okay, let's go.
Okay. The first little gang they spot, is this part of Lester's, like, anybody out here in these lands is Lester's gang? Like, the guys with the bread truck and the safari hats?
Yeah, she said, oh, yeah, that's Les. He runs Zone 7. Total wacko.
His gang is, like, a bunch of vacation dads.
Yeah, because it's set in the California desert. Of course, they filmed in Las Vegas, but they're dressed like Florida. People don't dress like that over here. Mm-hmm.
No.
Everyone's on a Florida vacation when the world ended.
Everybody's just a little bit older, a little bit out of shape. It's just, it's a weird, everybody's wearing Hawaiian shirts and stuff. It's a strange gaggle of goons that he's got working for
him. Gaggle of goons.
Goons. I love that. Yeah, it's true. They aren't big muscle guys, though. They look like a bunch of dads, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, Robert Zadar sticks out like a sore thumb.
Yeah, you need one heavy, for sure.
Is there a lady in the group? Isn't there one?
Well, there's like the line of perfect, like the girls in the swimsuits that don't really do anything.
No, not them. I thought at the end there was maybe.
Yeah.
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 No, at the end when Tim Thomerson, spoiler, is dead. There are, like, I think there are two women in, like, zip-up jumpsuits who stand there with Ginger and is like, well, wait, Lester's dead. What are we doing
and
here?
And she's like, well, I guess he doesn't get to eat his sandwich. Yeah.
They're like ladies, but they're like mom ladies. They're not the ladies by the pool.
No, no.
They're not the Hawaiian Tropic girls or whatever. Right. They're just out with their husbands, you know. They, you know, I don't know. Tim Thomas, I don't know. I'm not saying he's not a bad guy, but I didn't hate his weird cult. Like, I could see the appeal, kind of.
He was a eclectic leader, that's for sure.
So encouraging of his people.
Well, it's Jack Death. It's Doll what? Man. Well, have either of you seen the Trancers films?
I have seen Trancers, yes. And I've seen Doll Man. The only time we saw him in this podcast was in Rhinestone, where he played Dolly Parton's ex-boyfriend.
Oh, yeah.
And he was pretty great in that. Remember, Jamie? Yeah. He was like, I like my beer real foamy. He just had a full beer of foam. And Sly Stallone called him a weirdo. That was such a great role. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm so used to seeing him in like Full Moon and Empire movies that I was actually really excited he had such a big part in this one.
He's so good in this movie. Like, he's so much fun. He knows what he's doing in this movie.
Like, yeah, he kind of has that, Bruce Campbell thing where he does have like leading man good looks, but in just a quirky way, and they have a great sense of humor. So it's like leading man for B movies.
And when you say B movie, you mean literally bees sting him in this movie.
Oh, yeah, they do.
That is exactly what I meant. Thank you for picking that up.
Okay. So they see a guy in a van get murdered. From like across, like they're at a quarry or something, and they see this happen and realize, oh, this guy's a bad dude. We better get moving. So I guess he doesn't kill us too.
Right.
And that's when they come to an area where there's like a crane. I guess they are at the Hoover Dam, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Cause there's a crane, and I think this is the most sustained action sequence in this movie. Is that probably correct?
Until the end with the airplane, yeah.
Okay,
for sure.
Yeah, sure. Oh, yeah.
No, I think it's really well done, actually. Yeah, they like sky stunts in this movie. Oh. I noticed. They're really good with
They like to be aerial. Mine's going blue.
Yeah.
Although there's the point where when he's hanging on by the crane, you can see his face looks a little strained and it's not easy. She's hanging on. I mean, she's literally chewing gum while she's like shooting these guys up. And it's like,
are you okay? Yeah, lost my gum.
Yeah.
That was her.
I swallowed my gum.
Yes, I swallowed my gum. Yeah.
Rockets. Upwards of 150 rockets were just shot at them, and she just swallowed her gum. It's no big deal.
Oh, she's so cool.
This is part of her job. You know, and she does these jobs. I guess this is what trackers do, man.
And I'm so confused. So their car is magnetically lifted by a crane.
And she's ready for it when it happens.
She is into it. She's like, this is how we're going to get across.
Uh-huh. She's like, you better get ready. Hold on.
But it's not like the crane driver's working for them. Like, he wants them dead, so I don't quite understand what her plan is.
Well, she knows how the crane's going to take them over.
Oh, my God.
And she's, like, manipulating the situation to get where she needs to go.
Super resourceful.
And as you said, Steph, the stunt work is great. Whoever Melanie's stunt double is at this scene, like, hanging onto that car, because she, like, hooks up the crane to the winch on the front of the car so that when the guy, you know, and unmagnetizes, right, that's a thing.
Yeah.
The car, it, like, falls and still swings, and you see the stunt person really get whipped around.
Oh, yeah, the camera holds on it. They're not tricking you. She's doing it. Yeah, I know in the commentary they mention her name. I don't have it, but I guess she's, like, pretty legendary as a stunt person. Oh. So
was the commentary good?
It is. It's with the director and Walter Chaw, the film critic, who's a big fan of it. So yeah, it's a good one.
All right. Okay. All right.
Me bringing up commentaries always kills the conversation, and I never learn.
I brought it up. I asked you. You should have told me, shut up. Don't say anything.
Ixnay on the Omentary K. The water slide part is coming up next.
Yeah. Finally, for adults, not just Goonies. I'm sorry. I want to go on a water slide, but it's always for little kids.
No, this is serious.
I know. But, you know, I feel like if there's a really good chance you're probably going to die, like maybe within minutes. Well, there's a little moment of Cherry 2000 where she's just like, "Wee!" I'm like, that's me. That's what I'd be doing this whole time. I'd just be saying we. I'd be enjoying it. Who knows when my head would get blown off? Let's go for it.
So they do take this little water slide, little ride down. I don't know. I once went on a Hoover Dam tour.
Oh, was there a slide involved? No.
No, there was no slide. And I don't remember anything about giant tunnels. So they take the slide down. Mm-hmm. And then they meet Six-Finger Jake.
And let's be clear. He doesn't have six fingers on one hand like the six-fingered man from The Princess Bride. He's got six fingers total, it looks like, right? Isn't that what's happening?
I was so confused. I don't know what was happening in this movie. I guess. And was he just born with six fingers?
Wait, it's just six, right? In total. It's not that...
I believe so.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, it was like him pulling his gloves off really quickly and him saying, "You're six-fingered Johnson." Or, yeah, "You're six-fingered Jake, aren't you?"
Yeah.
But I like how he said that because he saw three fingers. I'm like, wait, how did you get there from only seeing three fingers?
Right, you're only seeing half the hand.
Right, you're assuming that on his other hand he also has three, but I guess.
Like, yeah, who else is walking around with just the three? Come on. That was just the one hand, so you got to figure, even Steven.
I just thought it was strange that he then didn't take the other glove off and go, that's
right, kid. And give the big reveal.
Right.
Count him and weep.
Well, he's very modest. Like, it's actually difficult for me to sign autographs. Let's not get into that whole thing. Oh, but when they're getting down, there was two lines that I think summed up Sam and Johnson's relationship really well. Uh-huh. It's when he was going down, he's like, "I don't see the bottom." And she's like, "Don't worry, it's down there." That summed it up perfectly for me.
Mr. Six Finger Jake, he's got a sweet pad, like a cave.
Oh, like his cave apartment. He's got a jukebox, lots of toaster ovens. He's really into a toaster oven.
Donkeys on a boat. That's really impressive.
Yeah, donkeys on a boat.
With donkeys. Well, is that the thing? Like, you could take donkeys down the dam. Is that like an adventure you can go on at the Hoover Dam? You went on a Hoover Dam tour. Did you ride a donkey while you were there?
That's like a Grand Canyon thing.
That is a Grand Canyon thing.
To ride the burros.
I like how I am now. We have
You're the Clark Griswold now. Of the,
in the state of Nevada. And I am the expert on the Hoover Dam and donkey tours down the Grand Canyon.
Well, I see I'm not needed anymore. So good evening to you both. And thank you for having me.
We'll talk to you next time. We need someone who watched a commentary for a movie.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Thank you. Wow.
So I think it's important that you brought up that he has toaster ovens, Jamie, because he has hundreds of these and they're all still in the box. It's a baffling part of this movie when Sam's like, "Wait, do they all work?" And his response is like, "Well, yeah, why would I keep them if they don't work?"
Well, yeah.
And then he goes into telling him what they can make.
I have to say, a toaster oven is a pretty phenomenal appliance.
I love it.
I only had a toaster oven in college in the one place I lived, and it was all you needed, really. I could bake muffins in my toaster oven. I could get bacon going in my toaster oven.
Your dog is out of control.
She's even downstairs now. I'm not even sure. Maybe.
Oh, wow.
There's possible some crime activity happening outside, you know, and she needs to get on that.
Oh, my God. Anyway, so he tells him all the things you can make in a toaster oven. Like, you can make toast, and you can make open-faced sandwiches. And then he pulls a rattlesnake, a cooked rattlesnake, that he seems to have posed before he put it in there. Like, the mouth is open, it's coiled up. But he cooked that, and Sam is kind of repulsed by it.
Yeah, Sam's used to his burgers made by robots. He's not into it.
Sam has it too easy.
But you know who loves it is Johnson. She scarfs that thing down like it's some yum-yum in her tum-tum. But her and the six-finger man have a nice little relationship there. It's like a father figure, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, or like your favorite uncle that you like going to see.
Your favorite uncle that lives in a cave? Yeah.
Yeah, like he's eccentric, but he's really nice. But she's like super empathetic. You know, she gets that, you know, this guy is alone all the time. So, yeah, he's going to talk about toaster ovens and be excited. And Sam's just like, well, this isn't about my sex robot. So.
Yeah, exactly. I'll just go listen.
Just move this along.
Let me go listen to my recording.
Yeah. They do argue. Sam and Melanie Griffith, whatever. Well, What's her name?
Edith Johnson.
Well, it's Edith, mm-hmm. but that's not like a cool tracker name. Mm-hmm. So.
No. Right. Okay. I just didn't know what the E stood for.
So but. Are we starting to...
Drugs. I mean, Edith. So just go by Johnson.
Okay. Got it. Right.
So are we starting to think that she's kind of fallen for him? Because she is starting to get... Well, unless she's just always like... She kind of put off and defensive about, like, well, she's just a freaking robot. Well, yeah. Like, even earlier, he shows her a picture of Cherry 2000. She's like, her eyes are red. He's like, it's the flash. It's not her eyes.
Right. And she's like, yeah, he even says
she's a
like,
Terminator, man. Yeah. Accept it.
If I took a picture of you, your eyes would look the same. And her response is, but I'm not a robot. All right. That's fair.
That's her response to a lot of the things. She's like, well, because I'm not a freaking robot. Because I'm not a fucking robot. All different expletives and not a robot.
No, and I understand. Like, we saw where she lived. We saw the guys at that bar. Like, we saw the human trash that she, you know, interacts with on a daily basis.
It ain't easy.
So this guy, even though he's, you know, as interesting as a board, he's a good looking dude, so I guess we are to believe at this point she is falling for the guy. Definitely.
I wouldn't say falling, but yeah, he's in good shape. He looks clean, you know.
she's checking
looks
his teeth
like he bathes, isn't rotting from the inside out. So she's like, yeah, yeah. I could get laid. That would be nice. Mm-hmm. We could get that done. I don't think she's like, I'm so taken by everything about you. Like, oh yeah, I'll hump you. Get some stress out of the way. Come on.
Because
it is a stressful job she does, and she does it to the very bitter end. So sometimes you need to, you know, rub some lady parts on some man parts and just feel better. Reduce the tension.
I do think that Jake even wants to kind of get her laid, because when the two of them go off and start arguing, he puts on some, like, sexy song on the jukebox.
Yeah, he does turn to that giant jukebox. How you got that jukebox in that cave, I don't know, but it's precarious.
And what it's plugged into, I don't know. I mean, they're generating a lot of power.
It's the Hoover Dam. He just tapped into that somehow. It's not water power.
I love it. I love it. And I really do, you know... Jamie, you pointed this to the scene where you realized that he was just dull and uninteresting. But I do like their little eye contact here when they are sleeping. And she's, you know, he sees her naked back and that's enough for him.
Well, and now he's used to getting it on the daily from his sex robot. So now that he's getting nothing, a little naked back is going to, you know, make him feel like an 11-year-old Doug, I suppose. I don't know.
I got to tell you, I remember the naked back scene.
You do.
There were a lot of scenes in this that I remembered.
Do you remember who you thought was cuter back then, Johnson or Cherry?
Oh, no. It was Melanie Griffith.
Oh, nice.
100%. Because Melanie Griffith was a woman. Like, that was a... Oh, my God. This is so... This is so personal. Like, I remember this so much, like, looking at her and being like, that is a grown woman. Like, that is not a girl in a movie. That's not a little girl. Like, that is a woman, and that is what women look like. And, yeah, and it's crazy because I didn't follow Melanie Griffith's career. Mm-hmm. I don't really like her as an actress. I couldn't name more than 4 or 5 things I've ever seen her in, but it's just this movie. Like, this movie had a huge impact on me.
Impact. That's what we'll call it. All right.
We'll call it an impact.
We'll keep it classy.
I think that's safe.
Yeah. I'm sorry to put you on the spot like that.
I appreciate it.
I loved it.
I'm proud of your choice.
I mean, I'm not saying I don't understand why people would choose a sex robot. I get it.
It's a whole industry now,
I know. I don't think they figured that out yet.
Well, yeah, they're not high tech, but... Oh, that's a conversation now. That's what they get into. Yeah, there's definitely a market.
Yeah, I assume those guys in Japan are frantically watching Cherry 2000 trying to figure out this
technology.
Where'd
they go wrong? Where'd they go right? Waterproofing is underlined 3 times.
Yes, yes. And circled, boldface, highlighted. Mm-hmm. Must. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Factory showroom. Put them in schoolgirl outfits. Oh, God. Okay. All right. We were getting this now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Six Finger Jake and Melanie Griffith are like, I don't know, they're on top of the Hoover Dam or whatever, and instantly floodlights, they're caught. And then suddenly, I don't know what his job is to sneak around over the rocks, but he's hit on the back of the head with like a 2x4.
Mm.
And this is when he wakes up at the Sky Ranch.
Yes.
I love the Sky Ranch. I kind of want to hang out there.
And that's definitely the kind of place when you're road tripping from Vegas to like LA that you'll just see kind of abandoned
that you'll
here and
stumble
there.
Upon. Yeah.
I love those places. So yeah, it's like,
wait, are those like real places? Like,
yeah, just like these little resorts that used to be really happening in the 60s, and then they built the freeways and it took all the business away, right. And then they'd build up like Reno and Vegas and they just kind of died out.
And then there's these sad little spots that are just like dried out.
No, Jamie, when I came out to visit you in LA, didn't you want to take me to one of these places? Where we, like, it was like a sweat lodge, and we would, like, I don't know, take mushrooms or something, and some dude would...
Oh, that's a cool way to get murdered. You should do that.
What'd you say?
What? Go ahead.
And we could podcast about it then.
Yeah, I don't know why we didn't do it, but, yeah, do you remember that?
Yeah, was it that dome place that I wanted to take you to where it's the sound? I can't think of the name of it now. Was that it?
I think so. It was something.
I can't think of the name of it. But it's the dome place where there's all these sound frequencies that supposedly happen in this one place out near the Joshua Tree. Is that it? Were we going to take mushrooms and go there too?
I don't know.
What a magical thought.
You guys are cool.
I felt like that was part of the deal. Well, keep in mind, we didn't do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
We thought we were cool and then just never did it.
But patrons, do, let them know that us. You would like to hear this
adventure. Tell them to hit record, too, when they go on this trip.
Yeah, patrons, if you want to hear an 8-hour episode when we're on mushrooms, then please just let us know and we'll figure it out.
So you want to be at the Sky Ranch. You wishing the Sky
I do.
Ranch was
I,
more in
I
your life.
I enjoyed this. I like the layout. I like the idea. I kind of like Tim Thomerson's whole, you know, hippie, very violent hippie vibe. But, you know, when he gets those two guys together and he's like, now go out there and, you know, and just, you know, go find them, bring them back here. But the most important thing is have fun with it and be yourselves. Like, you know what? I'm into this.
Yeah, you're like kind of a laid back murder cult leader who likes pastel. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
But also, you like this place because Ginger lives there.
Ginger is so much fun.
Ginger's the ex-girlfriend, right? Is the ex-girlfriend well, one time was Sam. Dating
She was
Sam,
Elaine.
But now lives
but now
here.
She's Ginger. And she kind of made me think of Shelley Long in Troop Beverly Hills mixed with 80s Kim Cattrall. Kind of like that vibe.
Okay. Oh. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I saw the aunt from our favorite, Sleepaway Camp.
Like,
a little bit. Because she is a little, like, off, just because of how off the hook
she was. Oh, my God,
with
the hat. Like, yes.
This mashup of all that, right?
No, she's kind of impossible to not love.
All right, so, yeah. So he wakes up at this Sky Ranch to his ex-girlfriend. Mm-hmm. Like, we as the audience, it's a weird introduction in that...
We don't know how we got there.
Yeah, we're almost meant to believe that we should know who this woman is, but we never saw her before. Mm-mm.
Makes no mention of her before because all we know of is Cherry 2000. Yeah.
He never makes mention. There's no, like, all he has to say to his coworkers have to say is, like, oh, you were this down when Ginger, whatever her name was then, you know, left you.
Right.
Then fine, it makes sense, but this character comes out of nowhere in this movie, and it's very jarring.
What about the other tracker that's there? The guy with the guy
the
with
golf
the
pro?
Yeah, so here's my
Ben,
question.
Yeah.
And Steph, oh. You're going to answer this because I'm sure you know the answer. So they have Sam mm-hmm. and they have Melanie Griffith's car, which they say that they found this other tracker who pretends to be a golfer.
Yeah, he's on. Correct? I love that they mention he's on his way to a tournament in Elko, which is such a small town. You only yeah. know about it if you live in Nevada and you know it from seeing it in the weather reports.
Okay.
Like, Elko's 4 degrees cooler today. They get everything.
They're sitting down. They're having dinner, mm-hmm. which just looks like bowls of
yes,
marshmallows.
It's kind of like a low-key yeah. version of the dinner in Hook, where you can't quite tell what they're eating. It's just brightly colored.
Yeah.
I assume Tim Thomerson is not into eating animals. I would assume this is a
vegan friendly.
Vegetarian.
Well, they talk about eating yeah. healthy, right? Right. In front of a bowl of mushrooms
yes.
or mm-hmm. marshmallows.
Doesn't he want Sam to work out more? He's like, you should work out. Like, you should be like productive if you were working out. It'd be a good look on you.
Yeah, it's like, man, I have a lot of scrawny guys on my kill squad here. It wouldn't hurt to get a little bit more muscle. Yeah.
I got a lot of chubby dads already.
No, I was going to say, so at the dinner when our golfing guy, he doesn't make it long because don't they put the bag over his head and then they're going to kill him? Yeah. Like, he's dunsies. For lying. Is that what it is? Because he was lying? Because he didn't tell? No, because he is a tracker. And they
he thinks he's a tracker because he keeps saying stuff like, well, why did we find this in your car? This right. in your car. But it's not his car. It's Melanie Griffith's car. Mm-hmm. So I read it as this, you know, he's basically like a desert wanderer.
Mm.
Found the car and then they found him and they took him for a tracker. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he wasn't – he didn't have the guile to believe that he was any kind of tracker. And he didn't right. seem to know about golf. So, yeah, I think he's kind of like – like he's almost cosplaying.
Yeah.
And that ended with him having to put a bag on his head and
uh-huh.
get a crossbow.
And yeah. this is another part of the movie that – and now watching this – and I mean, really, I had not seen this movie in probably 25, 26 years. This part of the movie scared me when I was younger. Like, I was really, really scared of this part. Like, Tim Thomerson, to me, when as a kid, I love him now in this. I was really afraid of him when I was, like, 11, 12 years old.
Yeah, it's almost like a gym coach that acts nice, and then he does something unspeakably
yes.
evil. I could see that.
Yes, I could totally, mm-hmm. yes.
So he passes around a bag with a bullseye on it, which is great, because I love how all the guys pass it around. Like, mm-hmm. Even though you can skip one or two, everyone has to touch this. Mm-hmm. And when the goofy weirdo golf enthusiast tries to pass it, Tim Thomerson stops him, makes him put it on his head,
and then they chain him up. Yeah, how about his weak kicks too? When he's chained up there, he tries to kick and fight, and it's pretty pathetic. But
not great.
Well, it did seem like he thought they were goofing
yes.
because they were, you know, they're pretty jovial and everything beforehand. So he's like, come on, guys, this isn't the fun kind of joking.
This isn't the fun kind. Come on, I haven't even digested my marshmallows yet. What's happening?
Yeah, come on.
So first he pulls out a gun, which I think was pretty funny because of the whole golfing thing. When he points it and he's like, this is too much club. So then Ginger gives him a bow and arrow and he shoots it right between this dude's eyes. Like bullseye, pins his head to the wall, I guess.
Yowzas.
Mm-hmm. And everyone sings the Hokey Pokey.
It's a Hokey Pokey kind of night.
Sickos.
Yeah. Also, at one point, Tim Thomerson does show Sam a picture of Cherry 2000 they found in the car.
Oh, right.
And he's like, do you know who this is? And he says, no. And he's like, this is a Cherry 2000. I got piles of them out in, I guess, what used to be Vegas. But we don't have a chip for them. We can't get them to work.
Too bad, because it's like slamming an octopus.
Slamming an octopus. You're right. That's right. I forgot about that.
That is a good line, yeah. Or no.
Such a weird movie. So, but of course, when he does try some acting, when he mentions the chip, he kind of looks up furtively and looks back down. It's like, real okay, guy.
Yeah.
I like that idea. You know what? I'll try some acting right now. We'll see how it goes. Oop, nope, that was a bad idea.
That was terrible.
I guess I'm done.
Yeah, better stick to my flat angle. That's better for me.
So that night, Sam tries to escape. He's going to get away. He has a little fight with Robert Zadar, which I thought was kind of funny because he, like, punches Robert Zadar out.
Mm-hmm.
And which I was like, well, no, that didn't happen. But, of course, it didn't. Melanie Griffith is there and saved him again.
Yeah, that was a great reveal. You're like, he one punched him out and then you see a knife in his back. You're like, all right, yeah. Good on you.
And Six Finger, what's his name?
Jake. Yeah, Six Finger Jake.
Yeah. He's there and... He only has one donkey, and it's so sad. Like, it's so sad when Sam's like, what happened to your other burrow? And he goes,
oh, yeah.
They shot him in the chest.
I almost thought he was going to, like, reach over and hug him or something, but then he just kind of stared at him. It's like, well, it was kind of touching. It was touching adjacent.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
At least he asked about the burrow.
Right. Wait, at least he showed some concern.
Know that he asked because that's where the chip was.
Oh, yeah. His concern was more for his special chip.
Right. Remember? Because later on he's like, oh, that burrow had my chip on it.
Yeah.
I like how he knew which was which, too. That's kind of cute. So,
this one has amber eyes. The other one has chocolate brown eyes. And that's how I tell them apart.
They both, though, have soulful eyes. So that does make it difficult. So then he's, I guess, very angry that he doesn't have this chip anymore. So he decides to blow up this entire camp and, I guess, murder all its inhabitants?
Yeah, that's his plan. He's just going to burn it down. Burn down the Sky Ranch.
He hates bees. Like, he puts a gas can full of gas, a giant gas can Molotov cocktail, in the bee hut, lights it, and leaves.
And there you go. And exits.
So it's a whole thing. They all get away. The three of them get away.
Mm-hmm.
Six Finger Jake says that he will meet them at, I guess, the gas station or something. Snappy Tom's.
Oh, yeah.
So they head off. The whole place is blowing up. Mm-hmm. The dads are all running around confused as to what to do. Mm-hmm. Tim Thomerson's upset. Ginger's making sandwiches. Who knows what she's doing? It's chaos. But now let's go visit Snappy Tom.
Oh, Snappy Tom. No, not yet. Don't they make out first? Oh,
not yet. Yeah, right, yeah. Right. Sorry, they're on their way. Yeah, go ahead.
Doesn't he crash the car? Isn't that how it goes down at first? He's driving the car, which she didn't let him drive.
He's just looking at her.
Yeah.
He's just looking at her sleeping. Yeah. He can't pay attention to the road.
Yeah. Well, again, he's horny as hell. He hasn't been laid in a few days now. He's on this adventure, and he just met up with his ex-girlfriend who's gone crazy. So they get out of the car. He's either making love to a woman on a floor of suds or making love to a woman in like, steam. Like, there's steam just coming off the ground when they're, like, well, they're not really making love, but they're, like,
that's
making
coming
out.
Off that car. That's all.
Is that what
car.
It is?
Yeah.
Yes. I do like how he's talking to her and they're like, all of a sudden, like you kind of, like you said, there's no chemistry, so you don't really feel the sparks, but you're meant to think that something's building between these two. And then all of a sudden he's just standing by her and he's like talking to her and he just like grabs her side boob and starts going in for it. And that's just how it goes down.
It's
so awkward.
It's great. It's almost as though they did a bunch of takes where they're like, we are not believing that there's any chemistry between these two. How about you just put your hands on her chest through this tape and then the audience will understand what's going on.
They'll get it that way. Then you don't under she's there. So they're on the ground and she's got the little recorder in her back pocket. So while they're getting hot and heavy, there's nothing worse than when you're getting it on with some guy to then the voice of his Cherry 2000 is activated in the midst of their passion. And that kind of ruins
the
mood.
Idea of there's nothing worse makes me think that this happened to you.
I mean, we've all been there.
You know, you have, ladies. You know, you have. Oh, he's like, why didn't you tell me that you had the tape? She's like, I don't know. I just didn't. And he's like, well, Cherry never lied to me, okay? And you lied.
She's a robot.
Well, that's exactly
what are you doing. What are you talking about, man? Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
No, it get but, that thing. It's like one of those novelty sound effects things you have as a kid, where it just it's like like a fart noise and everything.
Oh,
but
yeah,
it's
yeah,
like
yeah.
their sex life and their entire relationship on this little button
it's
thing.
All on this
and the second
thing,
he heard it, he just flew off of her. Just slap him. He is the worst. The more I talk about this guy, the more I dislike him.
Yeah, and it's weird too because my thought was, okay, Melanie, if you really like this guy, like, wouldn't you just throw this out the window or something like that at some point? But maybe
she's
you're right.
Torn.
Maybe she.
I think,
oh no, no, I was just thinking maybe she just wanted to get laid, and then after that, she'd be like, oh, look what I just found in the back of the car.
Yeah, because technically she is an employee, so she's like, well, I won't throw stuff away, but I might manipulate it a little bit.
She is an employee.
She is.
I wanted to see the contract that was drawn up before she got it. But the fact that his hands are on her boobs, I could not get over that. I was like, what? How is this even happening? Like, how is she not saying anything? I don't know. Or how is it not played for laughs for just a little bit, like while they both acknowledge this? It's nothing. It's just what is happening and what we're seeing.
Yeah. No, it kind of feels like everyone was uncomfortable, the actors, the director. So maybe he's like, just touch her sensually. And he's like,
yeah,
boob. And she's like, I just want this take to be over with. Fine, side
yeah,
boob. Fine.
Literally. She's like, oh, jeez, please. Please.
Fine, that's okay. If this is how it works in the theater, let's do it this way.
Whose method is this?
So they go to a gas station / house of prostitution, I believe, which is run by Snappy Pete. Wait, is that his name? Snappy Pete? Jesus Christ. Snappy Tom. Oh, man.
Oh.
I love this part where they show up at Snappy Tom.
I love when Snappy Tom is hiding from them and comes out of a refrigerator.
It's amazing. This is a part that should straight up be on, like, the funniest, like, the, you know when they do those lists of, like, the 100 funniest scenes of all time? This should be in there. Like, why is this not? And only because it's Cherry 2000. But just the fact that every character pulls a gun on another character, and Snappy Tom comes out of a refrigerator. It's amazing. And then, of course, to wrap it all up, Six Fingers comes out of a door. He just shows up out of nowhere, and he's got a gun on him. And then they all seem to understand, oh, we're all good friends. This is fine.
Right.
We're good.
Right. The introductions go around, and they're all gonna hang now for a short minute and be friends. So now she's kind of pissed, right, Melanie Griffith or Johnson? She's kind of in a bad way because she's all heated and now nothing to do with all that except be angry about it. So she sees a helicopter, or not the helicopter, sorry, the airplane. I keep calling it a helicopter, and she decides she's gonna fix the airplane.
Yeah.
He's convinced that she can't do that. There's no way you're going to be able to fix this airplane. It's not going to happen. And she's got this streak of, like, grease on her face from, like, you know, working hard in the motor. And what does she say to him? We can't all be glamour pusses 24 hours a day. Because he's like, you look like a mess. This isn't going to work out. I don't know what you're trying to do with this airplane. And she's like, well, we can't all be glamour pusses. I love that. Because what the hell is glamour puss?
It's crazy. She has a single streak of grease on her cheek. She looks gorgeous. And he's like, you fucking
dear mess.
It's so weird.
Saving my life at every turn. In the middle of the desert. Look at you. You're perfectly placed. It's robot life for me. I'll tell you what. Man.
She's never had a smudge on her face. Not once.
And I try so hard now with movies because I get very distracted with my phone when I'm watching a movie. So I try, when I watch a movie, to keep my phone in a different room, sometimes a different floor of the house.
Put it in the fridge.
What?
Take it from Snappy. Put it in the fridge like Snappy.
Well, I should do that. But the moment Snappy's little assistant came on screen, I was like, is that Parker Posey? I was convinced it was Parker Posey. I had to grab my phone.
I can see a little Parker Posey in her, yeah. Yeah, does she do some outfit changes in the, like, half a scene that she's in? I feel like she's, like, in one outfit when they come, and then all of a sudden she's got this, like, red jacket on, and then I feel like she's in something else when Lester comes. Anyway.
She makes a 5-gallon drum of mac and cheese for some reason.
It's a lot. Well, first she's told to make sandwiches, but she's not going to do that. And I like it. He tells her to make a sandwich, and she refuses. And he's like, well, you sorry sack of shit then. Go shit in your hat. That's what he tells her. Go shit in your hat.
Yeah.
But the mac and cheese, she'll get right on. So that's okay. So Lester's people never stop with the chase, of course. They're still going to be hot on the trail. Don't think you shook them just because you burned up Sky Ranch. It doesn't work like that, right? This is their territory, and they're coming for you. They're coming in hot.
He's running around with, like, calamine lotion all over his face and his arms, which is really fun.
Oh, is it I thought it was, like, I thought they were sunscreening in, like, awkward patches. But I get it now because of the bug bites. Okay.
Because of the bees. Yeah. Yes.
Understood. Well, she's got some sunscreen on her nose, though. Doesn't she have that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. She and a bunch of those dads do, too. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, but his is just for bugs.
Right.
All right, I'm glad I cleared that up, because, boy, did that throw me.
Your face have been red.
Maybe I can finally get some sleep tonight, so
you're
thank
welcome.
You.
You're welcome.
I appreciate
hey.
That.
That was rough. So Rhonda, by the way, is her name, right? The other chick, the Parker Posey chick.
Yeah. Another disturbing scene when she's killed. Like, another, like, again, like, something I remember really, really being bothered by when I was younger.
When she's just shot in the head?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal.
But they do. They call Tim Thomerson, or Tim Thomerson calls, and he's like, hey, be on the lookout for these people. Mm-hmm. And Snap is kind of like, oh, yeah, we will. But Parker Posey, and that's who she is, it grabs the mic and is like, no, they're here. They're here. Come here. Come get them.
Yeah.
And then they're on their way. Right.
Yeah, and then they But no worries, because Johnson sees them before they get there. She knows they got to hop on the plane and get out of here. But you know who doesn't? You know who doesn't make it in time? Our six-fingered friend. Six-finger Jake is shot by Parker Posey.
Right through an oven mitt she's got on.
Well, you got to hold that. The mac and cheese is hot. So.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Fine, you make jokes. I thought it was a legitimately sad death.
Well, it's very touching how upset Johnson gets about it in the airplane. She's like,
yeah, that was her cool uncle.
Yeah. She tries so hard to shed a tear, and then the camera pans away.
It looks like she just had some indigestion for a minute. You're like, oh, what's happening?
Well, I think it's buffeted a little bit because you know she's in the will to get all those toaster ovens.
Oh, yeah.
So she's probably thinking about that rattlesnake. Yeah. Like, well, I can cry over a decent meal.
Yeah. Right?
Like, I wonder why he never sold these, but I could sell them and I could make good money.
Things are going to change in this case.
Things are looking up. Look at this turnaround.
You can make toast and open-faced sandwiches?
I told you, and muffins, too. Muffin in there. No joke.
It's the only way to deal with leftover pizza, in my opinion.
It's very true. No one wants to put that in the microwave.
It's really funny. I grew up in a household with no toaster ovens. I have never had one my entire life.
Oh, get one now. It is life-changing.
Man, it was like microwave or oven.
No.
Wow. Okay.
It's the toaster oven. It's the mini oven. It's the little helper. Like, instead of the vacuum, sometimes you need a dustbuster.
If you guys get into merchandising Cherry 2000 toaster ovens, might be something to look into.
I like this
stuff. You know what? We do have a Tee Public. I don't know if they sell.
You might need to expand a little bit, but that's a good start.
So they fly to matte paintings of Las Vegas buried in sand.
Which Resident Evil 3 totally ripped off.
So anyway, Tim Thomerson also shows up. He's got a bunch of guys on ATVs. He spouts a bunch of stuff. He's like, he tells them that life is an adventure. I love that. Be friendly.
Very inspirational leader. I take notes from his leadership.
So while his guys are getting ready, Sam and Melanie Griffith, they just find all these sex bots in body bags.
Oh, it's disturbing.
It's kind of gross.
In this back closet, but this is what...
Might as well be swinging from meat hooks, yeah.
Yes, exactly. That's what it reminded me of. Like they're, but they this is the area they've been looking for. This is the zone.
Sure.
Whatever that they've been looking for the whole time. They're finally there. I like how she's like, be quick. Be quick about it. I like she opens one bag. She's like, is this her? He's like, almost, but not quite. There's brunettes. They don't even open the bag on the brown hair. Looking for a blonde. Yeah.
You don't open those brunettes. That's disgusting.
They should have an own section. Not here. But they find her, and she's in a beret, as exciting as that is. First, I was like, what's behind her head? What's happening? Is that part of the packaging? But no, when she comes out, she's in this, like, red cherry outfit, I guess. It's like tight red
pants. Kicky little beret.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just like... She is a complete idiot.
Oh, God, I love her. I love her so much.
R.I.P., she died pretty young, too.
Recently, yeah. Like a mysterious
death. The actress, really?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it was anything like cancer. It was just like, oh, she died. They are able to escape. Cherry acts like a stupid baby the whole time. Like, she's making goofy quips.
I like how, she's sitting, like, with her head, like, I wish I could watch this on TV.
Yeah, I'd rather watch this on TV. They're, like, shooting, and she's dusting off his coat and just, like, chilling. Like, oh, I love it. She's the robot, and she has so much more emotion than Sam, our lead.
Yeah, when she gets there, all of a sudden, I'm like, okay, here's the energy we needed. Here's the vibe that we needed to catch on.
Yep.
Yeah, that little bit of goofiness and sweetness for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not to spoil the ending, but you want to make a sequel to this? Cherry 2000 and Ginger. I would watch that movie where they're just like roommates and they're getting wacky
eating
adventures.
Sandwiches together. She's like, this is beautiful when she's eating the sandwich. It's so beautiful.
They shoot up the place. They're killing guys. Guys are shooting at them. Even though Tim Thomerson was like, I want them alive. Everybody is just spraying bullets all over the place.
It's just a big shootout. Yep.
They shoot Tim Thomerson. He falls through... like a glass ceiling, but he's really not dead. We'll see him in a little bit.
I do like how it almost was like he looked around him. He's like, well, I want this to be dramatic if I'm going to die, and kind of throws himself through it. I appreciate that. That's some flair right there.
I really enjoyed, and not to get too deep into the Blu-ray. Guys, buy the Blu-ray. With the interview with him, when he's like, did I do any stunts? What stunts did I do? And he's like, oh, yeah, I fell through that ceiling. That was no big deal. That wasn't anything. But he was really upset when he had to be hung upside down because all the fake blood kept running into his eyes.
Yeah, actors seem to hate that because I guess they leave them up there way too long, or at least they did back in the day.
All that blood rushing to their head, like, they can't
so, Tim, you're going to be up here today. Yeah, you're upside down. Don't worry about it. I mean, Ginger will bring you sandwiches. You'll be fine, but you got to just stay here all day. So they get in this plane to take off.
Oh,
they're
no.
Too heavy.
They get a drop.
They must be heavy by like 110 pounds because neither of these ladies weighs a whole lot.
Well, Cherry Teeth, she's a robot. So she looks nice and trim, but she might be like 5,000 pounds.
True. She might be pretty heavy.
A little hyperbole, maybe. But, she's a robot. She weighs a little more.
You're saying that's why he was on top in the kitchen.
Yes. Exactly. Could have been done. Yes.
Right. Lucky they didn't have a Cherry 2000 shaped hole through the floor.
Ain't that the truth?
Oh, my God. Yeah, so they're a little heavy. And, even Melanie Griffith's like, I'll get out. Don't worry. I'm tough enough to survive. And I found this endearing. Like, when the plane takes off and he is so excited that it takes off.
Yeah.
And then he turns around and sees that she's running away. Like, she got out.
Mm-hmm.
I found it very cute.
Yeah, and Cherry's just blankly looking at him. And that is a good moment. You see how... an actual personality of the women is starting to hit him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
That's a cool moment.
Yeah, she's just blinking in the back. Yeah. Curious. And says, I love you. And then kind of like gives him a wet willy and is like, I said I love you.
And he doesn't say it back.
Yeah.
For the first time.
No, he doesn't. There's no boomerang on that. Because he's realizing who he really needs to go back for. It takes him a minute, though, because Melanie Griffith has to run. She has to run toward this, like, metal structure thing in the middle to kind of take cover from all more shooting. Lots and lots of shooting.
Yeah.
From everybody.
I think it's like a garbage pile. Because even Tim Thomerson comes back out. He's fine. And he's even yelling at these guys. He's like, shoot at the giant garbage pile. Mm-hmm. She's in there. So she's in a firefight. But, of course, he comes back for her. And as we said earlier, perhaps before we started recording for, I don't know, non-patrons, he sends Cherry out to get him a Pepsi.
Yep. Go get me a Pepsi. And she's like, very specific. Okay.
Very specific. Because she's even like, a Pepsi? And then she wanders off. And then he saves Melanie Griffith. Tim Thomerson lassos their plane for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
At the last second, I think realizes this was a bad idea. And then he is smashed into a just a big statue of like a Vegas showgirl.
Oh yeah,
I mean if you got to go, that's a good way to go. That's pretty memorable.
It's not a bad way, yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. No, definitely. They fly away and make out. It's such a happy ending. And then we see Cherry 2000 like sidle up next to Ginger and be like, "Hey, what are we doing here?" And
buddies.
They have sandwiches together, I guess.
That would be a great little buddy movie, the two of them. Yeah, I'm with you.
A wacky girl and her robot buddy. Anyway, all right. So let's get to, and I think, I mean, I don't, Jamie, I think I can always kind of tell your feelings when we talk about these movies. I think when you hated something, you make it very clear. But what was your overall thought when it came to Cherry 2000?
I enjoyed it. I really did. Like I said, I don't usually like when I heard it was Melanie Griffith. It kind of rolled my eyes. But it was, like I said, sometimes I was forgetting to take notes because I was like, what is happening right now? It was not a movie I'd ever seen or heard of before. So I enjoyed watching it. I liked it. I would, not that I'm watching it again right away, but it's the kind of movie I would watch again because I feel like there were things I missed because I was busy trying to take notes and know what we were going to say here. So I liked it. Yeah.
Steph, what do you want to say about it?
Well, I am a fan of it. It has this kind of chaotic messiness and a little bit of a clunkiness to it that I find very charming. It's just so full of ideas. I love the locations. I am a sucker for Southwest desert locations. As much as I hate the lead, I'm going to say hate. The supporting characters are just, it's like they stepped out of a comic book. It's so fun. And it's just, sometimes you're just in the mood for, you know, a fun little weird adventure movie. And this really fits the bill, in my opinion. I like it a lot.
Totally.
This is a dumb movie that everyone should watch. 100%. I mean, it's not great, but it really is a lot of fun. And I think for this one, I mean, there's a lot of nostalgia. We talked about it for me. I really, truly, personally enjoy this movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think it's something where anyone could just sit down. Like, this is almost a perfect TV movie. You put it on TV, it takes 2 hours long with commercials. I think it's enough fun to engage you for that amount of time.
But it's crazy. You should know it's a TV movie that's a little bit out there. It's not like
No. I just mean if they put this on TV as a movie.
Oh, I see.
Cut it up
like a late afternoon Sunday movie. I feel like it's kind of perfect for that.
Yes.
This is a perfect Sunday afternoon movie. You're right. Yeah. So at the end of this, Steph, I told you we do recommendations. Do you have a recommendation based on what we just watched?
Well, it's going to seem like I'm cheating, and I wasn't. It's just a coincidence, and it's going back to the Blu-ray. They mention both of them. So I guess I'll just support it. the late Pamela Gidley, she has a smaller role in Highway to Hell.
Okay.
But Kino also released that movie, and it is bonkers. It has a lot of kind of the practical weird casino locations, a lot like this film.
Okay.
Just like another high concept, crazy, how the hell do we get out of this situation movie? But I would also check out the director's other film, Miracle Mile.
Oh,
Oh yeah, that's
which
good. Yeah.
I love that. Really it's good. It's still crazy. It's still kind of we're going here meeting these strange characters now. We're going here and we're meeting these strange mm-hmm. characters. But it's a little bit more straight laced.
Mm-hmm. It's a little and more it's, grounded in
Yeah.
In reality.
And it's one of my
yes.
favorite subgenres where it's just one night mm-hmm. of madness mm-hmm. and you just follow them through the night. So
one crazy night. I do like that.
Jamie.
Well, my recommendation goes off of how they took Anaheim and there was a, so have you seen the show Baskets, the Jack or Zach Galifianakis show? It's been canceled just this season. It came out in 2016 and they've had what, 4 seasons? I think the 4th one's about to come out. Zach Galifianakis is a Paris clown who is kind of a failure and has to go back and live in his hometown of Bakersfield. And he lives with his mom, played beautifully by Louis Anderson. Mm-hmm. And he becomes like a rodeo clown. So it's very sad, but the characters are very kind of crazy. And I mean, as the seasons go on, it does get a little crazier and crazier. But it's that desert feel because he's out in Bakersfield. That was like my first, like, I don't know why this reminds me of Baskets. So it's a really great show. It's really a lot of fun. And Zach Galifianakis does a great job as well because it's not, you know, it's a more very serious role, very dark comedy. So, yeah, I recommend that from this.
It's fun. I think I saw the first 2 seasons. I kind of lost track after that.
I haven't seen season 3 and 4, and I did hear that they are not renewed for next year. But it was good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. No, I like it a lot. Very good.
And?
My recommendation is a little bit of a deep dive in that I looked into the guy who did the music for this because I enjoyed the music for this movie. And he did a ton of, like, he did the music in RoboCop and Conan the Barbarian. And he did the music in a movie that I just saw recently. It's on Amazon Prime. It's called Spellbinder from 1988 with Tim Daly and Kelly Preston. Has anyone seen that?
No, I don't think so.
It's not great. That's a terrible way to explain it. But Tim Daly of Wings fame, he saves Kelly Preston from like being sexually assaulted, and he brings her in, and they kind of form a relationship, and she starts living with him, and it takes a long time, but then a woman shows up looking for Kelly Preston. And she is from a witch's coven, and they need her for some reason.
Oh.
And if you're looking for like a sexy thriller, mm-hmm. that's what this is. But it's very slow, and I think the ending makes it worthwhile. But I don't think it's for everyone. But it was really interesting, and it's on Amazon Prime. So if you subscribe, just check it out. It's worth it.
Mm. That sounds fun. Oh, and see Trancers if you haven't. One of Helen Hunt's first roles, just a really fun, crazy sci-fi movie.
Oh my God, that is Trancers. Okay, sorry. Sometimes it sounds dumb. Sometimes I get Trancers and Doll Man mixed up.
He's a little guy in Doll Man, though. That's why he's Doll Man.
I know. So, Stephanie, would you like to plug anything? And before you plug anything, there is something that I want you to plug because you are. And no offense to anyone else I follow on Twitter, you are my favorite Twitter follow.
Aww.
Like, I'm an old man and don't understand how to use Twitter, but if I did, I would try and model my Twitter usage off of what you do. It is wildly entertaining, and you appear to be on there all the time.
I don't know how to take that now. Thanks. It's a compliment.
I'm sorry. I'm not saying that as though it's a bad thing.
It's the first social media thing that I've ever kind of liked because I just have dumb jokes all day. And I'm like, oh, this is an easy way to make people read those. That's awesome. So I kind of took to it. But thank you so much. I appreciate it. So, yeah, I'm Scrawfish on Twitter. And anything I write, any podcasts I'm on, it goes there. And I do have my blog linked in the bio. So. Yeah, just go there.
Oh, nice.
Well, thank you so much for coming. I really do appreciate it. And I know it was a bit rough there.
No, it's smoothing out.
Everything.
You guys hazed me pretty hard. It was a little hurtful, but I get it now. So just thank you.
It's part of it. It's part of the whole. And you passed. So good job.
So when we have you on again, you have to stay in the shower. I apologize, but it seems to have worked. Okay.
Duly noted.
Wherever you are podcasting from now, just stay there next time we call. So, Jamie, next time is our, and I hate to say the words back to school because people think we're doing back to school, but the school year is starting. So we're going to do a school episode, but we're not going to do an episode about a school that deals in math or academics or nonsense like that. We're going to talk about a dance school.
Hey now.
So we're going to talk about Fame next time. So everybody watch Fame next time, I guess. I don't know. Is that how we end these shows? I have no idea anymore. Do I just say what movie we're doing?
Yeah, you just tell them what we're doing, and you tell them thanks for coming, and then you tell them all about the places to find us. That's usually what you do.
I always forget that. Yeah. Guys, find us at all those places. You know, all those social media places. Mm-hmm. You can find us anywhere. Just type in Good Times, Great Movies in Google. Whatever search engine you use, like, I don't know, Ask Jeeves? Who knows? Whatever you use, type us in. You'll find us. And watch Fame so that you can listen to our next episode in 2 weeks.
I'm getting my leg warmers ready. I'm ready. Let's do
it. All right, everybody. We will talk to you again in 2 weeks. Until then, have a good 2 weeks.
Bye-bye.
I don't know. This movie should be shown in a class. Like, what?
That
what
was
is that?
Magical. Wow.
I'm sorry, you guys. David Bowie just got here. I'm going to have to go.